It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Manning back, steps up, heaves one down the middle of the field, into the end zone, and Nix makes the catch for the touchdown! He went up with the big hands and caught it on the Hail Mary!
Boots one, returnable for Williams from his own 20. Lost the ball, and the Giants say they have it, and they do!
Devin Thomas recovered it, but the rookie Jaquan Williams punched it out.
Manning out of the shotgun set, he's back to throw. Finds the pocket, deep ball down the left sideline, and it's going to be caught. Was he inbounds? Yes! Manningham on the sideline. Brady's under pressure, Brady's chased, Brady heaves one. Down the middle of the field, into the end zone, a jump ball, and it's incomplete, and the ball game's over, and the Giants have won Super Bowl 46.
Now here are your hosts, Anita Marks and Lance Meadow.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live.
It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Back here on Giants.com here, Big Blue Kickoff Live, working out some technical kinks here early in the morning, but so glad you could join us alongside Anita Marks. I'm Lance Meadow as the Giants and the Panthers getting set to go head-to-head tonight in Carolina as we'll be taking your phone calls for the next hour. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number, 201-939-4513. You can also chime in on the conversation on Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. Want to hear your thoughts, as I mentioned, as the Giants and the Panthers going head-to-head. And the big news leading up to this game is on the injury front, as the Giants downgraded Hakeem Nix yesterday before they left for Carolina, so he is not with the team. He is staying back here in New Jersey to rest and recuperate. He'll have about 2 weeks to get ready for the Eagles. It's not a setback from an injury perspective. It's just a matter of them feeling with the quick turnaround. There's no point of him taking the chance of re-aggravating the injury. So that's basically why Hakeem Nix won't be in uniform tonight. They're down Dominic Hickson as well. So, Anita, this is pretty much a game in which the likes of Ramses Barden and Reuben Randall are going to have opportunities.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you loud and clear.
Okay, I can't hear me, but I'm glad you can hear me. So hopefully we can get that set. But in regard to Hakeem Nix, my heart goes out to the guy. This is a game that he really wanted to play in. This is a game that he really, I mean, he's from North Carolina. He had, I believe, like maybe 50 tickets that he got for his family to go out there and play in this game and perform in front of friends and family. When he addressed the media earlier in the week, he sounded very optimistic that he'd be able to play. So I'm really curious, Lance, what went wrong in the course of 24 hours? What happened? How serious is this foot injury? I have a feeling that this is something that's going to be lingering throughout the season. I hope it will not be, but I think it will be. And with that being said, moving forward, yes, Dominic Hickson with the concussion, what does that mean? You've got Cruz, Barden, and Reuben Randall. Those will be your top starting 1, 2, 3 wide receivers. Sprinkle in a little Jarrell Jernigan. There are some young men that are really going to have to step up big time for Eli Manning tonight.
Yeah, and like I said, you know, this is an opportunity for them to really take advantage of the playing time. The reason why the Giants, you know, made these decisions in terms of who to keep and who to get rid of was because they had confidence in this group. Ramses Barden stepped up in the preseason, has had his opportunities to show some flashes during the regular season at times, but this is going to be a game in which he's not just going to play 10 to 20 snaps. He's going to be out there regularly on the wide.
And you know what was interesting? Being here at the facility before the team left, came in to host the show with Paul Dottino, kind of looked like Ramses Barden had a little pep in his step, was all smiles, walked into the cafeteria, hey, what's up? And at that point in time, still was not confirmed or even communicated by the Giants that Hakeem Nix was not going to play. So now looking back, yesterday when the team was about to board the flight or board their buses from here to head over to the airport and jump on the flight, makes a lot of sense. Barden has to be extremely happy, extremely excited. He had a great preseason. He had a very good camp. He won the battle for that sixth wide receiver spot, and it was a tough one to win because there was a lot of competition. And this is his shot. This is his chance. And this isn't a Sunday 1 o'clock or 4 o'clock football game.
This is prime time.
This is a Thursday night prime time against the Carolina Panthers, and everybody likes to watch Cam Newton football game. This is an opportunity for him and a lot of these guys to shine. But let's go one step further. I have some big, big, big hopes for Martellus Bennett tonight. I think Martellus Bennett is going to be he's already scored two touchdowns so far in the first two games. Moving forward, now he becomes not just a luxury, but a necessity for Eli Manning in this passing attack. So even though, yes, he's a tight end, I do feel that you have to include Martellus Bennett in the conversation in regard to players and weapons that Eli Manning could go to tonight, Lance.
Well, I mean, I don't even think it matters what position he plays. I think Eli Manning looks at him as a security blanket at this point. He's proven that in the last two games. He's been a big red zone target. And the other thing that I think gets overlooked regarding Martellus Bennett is his size on the offensive line to serve as an additional blocker to really open up the running game. And part of why Andre Brown, I think, had a lot of success when he came in was, yes, he's a different style running back than Ahmad Bradshaw and David Wilson, but Bennett gives them that extra push off the edge specifically, and I think tonight they're going to need that. They're going to need his dual ability in both the passing game and the running game, so expect, given the injuries with the receiving core, Manning could lean even more on Bennett, even outside the 20s, not necessarily just in the red zone.
Absolutely, absolutely. Let's break it down for you, because, again, apologize for some technical difficulties when we started the show. It is Big Blue Kickoff Live. Anita Marks, Lance Meadow with you. Tell 10:30 a.m. today, talking all things Giants and the Carolina Panthers, getting you ready for the big Thursday night showdown tonight in Carolina, 8:30. 201-939-4513 is the phone number. 201-939-4513. Also, everything social media. Lance and I are monitoring Twitter. You can find us at Giants. Make sure you include that hashtag Giants chat. So any questions or comments, we will read and share and answer on the show. Really quick, Lance, I'm putting you on the hot seat. What should be today's Twitter topic? What's your question? What do you want to throw out there for our listeners out there in regard to what our Twitter topic should be today?
Well, I think it basically piggybacks off of what we talked right off the top of the show. Who tonight do you think is going to be the most integral part of the receiving game?
Great. Done. I'll post it in a hot second. 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Florida. We kick off the phones with John. John, welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, John, what's going on?
Not much. Just wondering your thoughts. I know you guys were touching on who needs to step up in the receiving game, but, you know, with them stepping up, you know Victor Cruz is going to be double-teamed all night long. So do we look at that, or do we say, you know, Andre Brown needs to even have a bigger game than he did last week for our running game?
Well, I think regardless of whether they have one-on-one matchups for Victor Cruz or double-team him, they're going to need some balance. That goes without saying. Is there additional pressure on Andre Brown if Victor Cruz doesn't really have many openings down the length of the field? That will truly depend on how effective Ramses Barden and Reuben Randall are in winning their one-on-one battles. And I'll take it even a step further. Even if they win their battles, are they going to make plays? And the reason I throw that out is there has been examples of some mental lapses and breakdowns by this receiving core in the preseason, last season, and even in the regular season. So it's not just a matter of them getting separation and running the correct routes and building chemistry. It's hauling in the football and making the catches when they need to. I mean, even Martellus Bennett, as productive as he's been, he's had some key drops in some drives that hurts and damages the rhythm of the offense. And I don't think they can afford to have that happen in a game like that tonight.
Again, 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. Let's go to Jackson, New Jersey. Timothy, welcome to the show.
Timothy, you're there. All right, Tim, a man of very few words. If Timothy has an opportunity to call back, give us a ring, 201-939-4513, and appreciate the phone call from John earlier.
Let's go to Jay. Jay, you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi, welcome to the show.
Thanks a lot. What's going on, Lance? I just had a couple statements. Number one, you're right about that Bennett dropping passes. He has a tendency not to like to dive for catches. Like a couple of those catches you see, he could have dove and caught those passes. He just doesn't do it. And I remember a time when Cruz first became part of the receiving core, and he made a big impact on our receivers. And I think it's time for Ramsey to step up and do that. And what do you think about our linebacking core? Because Phillips is going to be big, I think, tonight. And with him, Williams, and Boley, I think that's a nice, speedy linebacking core. And what's your opinion about that?
Well, that's a very interesting point regarding the speed in the linebacking core, and the reason it is because they're going up against a mobile quarterback tonight, and if you want a guy that can contain them off the edges, you're going to want to turn to the likes of Jaquan Williams and Michael Boley. So they're probably going to be key in at least limiting the damage from Newton if he gets past the first layer of defense, which is your mighty front four. I see the linebacking core playing a huge role in this game, and even, you know, Chase Blackburn, because the bottom line is they got to stop the run. That, to me, is what really stands out right off the top. If D'Angelo Williams is able to set the tone early, even if Jonathan Stewart doesn't play, they can run a lot of different looks out of the backfield, and that could hurt the Giants in the long run if they get chunks of yardage after each and every drive.
A few things. Number one, in regard to the linebacking core, Keith Rivers did practice, although he was limited this week. I think everybody knows that he's going to be needed, especially the way that Cam Newton plays football. You need one of the best linebacking cores in order really to help contain him. Boley, I believe, will get the start. I think you'll see sprinkled in with Keith Rivers. But really, the big key here is going to be Jaquan Williams. Jaquan Williams, I believe, Perry Fuel is going to use as that spy on Cam Newton. He has used him in the past against Michael Vick, the times that Jaquan Williams has played against him on this defense. So that's first and foremost. I think that's going to be a really big key tonight. And I think you're right. I think they're going to have to stop the rushing attack. And the fact that you've got Chris Canty out, Marvin Austin is back and inactive, which hopefully he'll be active again tonight. I think they're really going to need him.
Yeah, he's another local product, by the way, from Carolina.
Jonathan Stewart, though, he did practice, although he was limited yesterday. He did practice. Apparently, it's not just an ankle, but it's a toe. So he has two injuries that he's dealing with, a toe and an ankle. And apparently, Lance, the toe is worse than the ankle.
Well, toe injury could kill a running back, especially if it's turf toe.
Carolina. Exactly.
But see, Stewart's interesting because he's similar to what Hakeem Nicks is going through. Not necessarily the exact injury, but what the Panthers need to weigh is it worth having him aggravate an injury with a quick turnaround or rest him for about 2 weeks to have him ready for their next game? Because I think the Panthers and the Giants are looking at this game the same way. It's a must-win situation in terms of you're not going to give up a game in a very short season, but you also need to think, is it worth losing a guy for 5 to 6 weeks or losing him for just one game?
Again, 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. Also, Paul Dottino is going to join us shortly. Who knows, maybe Schmoke will call in. We'll make it a party. We go to Timothy in Jackson, New Jersey. Timothy, welcome.
Hi. I got a question for you.
What you got, Tim?
Well, when does Barton take off for injured Hakeem Nicks?
Well, Ramses Barden is going to be in the mix tonight. He's going to be certainly a big key of the game plan, as the plans are most likely that it'll be, especially when they go to the three wideout sets. You'll have Barden and Randall most likely on the outside, and then Cruz will be moved to the slot, and Martellus Bennett is going to be another big target for Eli Manning. It goes without saying, this is their opportunity. A lot of people last season, a lot of people in the preseason, we got tons of calls here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. The big question was, when is Ramses Barden going to live up to his potential? When are the Giants going to be able to benefit from a guy that's 6'6 and can be a huge target in the red zone? I know this topic has driven John Schmelk crazy when we've hosted shows week in and week out, but this is it. I mean, his number is going to be called tonight. Can he win his one-on-one battles? When you look at the Panthers' secondary, I mean, Barden at 6'6, he's going to have the height advantage. Carolina has a rookie corner that they're going to throw out there opposite Gamble. So this is certainly an area that the Giants can look to attack.
No, there's no doubt about that. The thing with Ramses Barden is that he's just been inconsistent. So there's no consistency in his game. And you're right. I mean, this has been the preseason for him. It was a battle. There were some question marks. Was he going to win it? He did. Now, because of injury, this is his time to shine. And now this is the big stage, baby. This is it. Also, don't forget, in the backfield, you've got Andre Brown starting tonight. Ahmad Bradshaw did not even make the trip. So and everybody wants to see David Wilson play, Lance. So tonight's game is going to be very interesting. Not just the fact that it's Cam Newton, Steve Smith, and the Carolina Panthers, but on top of that, you know, it's a Giants team with not your regular crew of playmakers. Andre Brown's going to have to step up. And let me tell you something. You can run the ball against Carolina. Their front line, their run defense is not that good. I see a heavy dose of carries for Andre Brown. Sprinkle in David Wilson. Hopefully David Wilson gets maybe 8 to 10 carries. Hopefully you see him utilized in the passing game if he could catch a pass and not fumble a ball. And then, as we've been talking about pretty much for the first 15 minutes of the show, the young wide receivers that are going to have to step up. Reuben Randall, you know, a rookie, is having a hard time kind of digesting the system. Can he execute tonight? And Jarrell Jernigan as well. I mean, it's going to be an interesting game. I feel like we're going to be watching like a preseason game number 3, but like for real.
Well, a lot of
for
players,
real.
As you mentioned, a lot of players who have been inactive are probably going to be active tonight. Even Darrell Scott's another name to throw out there.
Oh, he's going to have to be. He's going to have to be because if David Wilson fumbles the ball, what are you going to do?
You gotta turn to the next guy in line.
Yeah, you have to have Darrell Scott. I have no doubt Darrell Scott will be active tonight. Let's go to Lynn calling in from Columbia, Maryland. Lynn, welcome. You're on Big Blue Kickoff.
Hey, how you doing? Good morning. Looking forward to the game tonight. I hope I'm correct with the following statement. I believe this is the healthiest we're going to be on defense all year long. So stop the run. Come on, guys. If I'm the defensive coach, I stress one thing. Just watch the cutback from D'Angelo Williams. Let's hold this team to less than 60 yards rushing, including Cam Newton. And I think we can win the game. Field position will help. I think we're going to get a big night from Wilson and Randall. Maybe not a touchdown, but I think in terms of maintaining field position, I think Wilson and Randall on kick returns. And, of course, the big punter, Weatherford, who is turning into a core player for the Giants, just absolutely a core player. And, look, I feel pretty good, and I should. Anytime Eli steps on the field, we got a good shot at winning the ball game. Let's go, Giants. I'll hang up and just listen to what you have to say.
All right, Len, appreciate the phone call and high expectations there, wanting to hold the Carolina Panthers to 60 yards on the ground as the New Orleans Saints had a big field day on the ground last game.
Let me just say this. Cam Newton alone is going to get 60 yards on the ground, Lance. Let's face it.
He had a career high in the last game, over 71. So.
Come on. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, but Len, once again, emphasizing the point that we've been throwing out here on the program, that's priority number one from the Giants' defensive perspective. You got to stop the run, make the Panthers one-dimensional, and even if Cam Newton gets by you, make sure that you limit it to maybe a 4 or 5 yard gain, because what's very key with Cam Newton's game, not only can he elude the tackles and get out into the open field, but he won't also shy away from then throwing the ball. He's a very powerful quarterback who can take a hit, absorb that, and look for guys down the field, and that's when all of a sudden the Brandon LaFells and the Greg Olsons continue to move the chains. And if those two guys get hot, that's when the Giants secondary is going to really be in trouble.
Again, Lance Meadow, Anita Marks, and you're listening to Big Blue Kickoff Live, 201-939-4513, and all things social media on Twitter, @Giants, #GiantsChat. Our Twitter question, Lance's show question really for today is, who do you want to see step up for the Giants in the game tonight? Who do you feel needs to step up for Big Blue? And here's some responses, Lance. Reports of Nick's not playing. I'd like to see Barden step up, somebody we've been talking about for the past 15 minutes. Bennett and Randall. We also have to put pressure on Cam Newton with our front four. Interesting stat. Giants started the season last year 6 sacks in 2 games. This year, 4 sacks in 2 games. And get this, only 1 sack between O.C. Tuck and JPP. So it goes to show you they are not those defensive ends who made a big name for themselves in last year's Super Bowl. They're not getting the job done right now. They need to get it done. And let me tell you, Cam is not an easy guy to take down.
But it's a catch-22, remember, because if you over-pursue against a team like the Panthers, they'll all of a sudden pick up 10 to 15 yards if your linebacker core is out of position. And the funny thing about that 1 sack, Anita, it came out of coverage from JPP. It wasn't even off a blitz package. They have done a good job, the opposing offensive lines, the Cowboys and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, keeping guys like OC and Tuck in check. And I think you need to tip your cap to the O-lines. Part of it is the guys winning their man-to-man battles. That goes without saying. But there's a lot of max protection that they're seeing. And Justin Tuck even touched on this during the course of the week. There is somewhat of a level of frustration because of the respect that now that these guys are seeing as a result of their reputations. They made a habit of getting to the quarterback and not just hitting them, but taking them down all of last season. So if you're playing the Giants right now, Anita, you're bulking up your offensive line. You're making sure your running backs are in position to protect the quarterback, and you're even maybe throwing an additional tight end in the mix. Could the Panthers do that? Would not surprise me. This is a league which one team mimics after the other. So Carolina's going to look at what Tampa Bay and Dallas did effectively, and don't be surprised if the Giants see a lot of the same schemes.
This is, again, also our Twitter question. Who needs to step up tonight? T. Minardi, 22, says Andre Brown. He has to be consistent for Eli to open up the passing game. Pretty interesting. Thank you. Keep them coming. Lance and I will be monitoring them.
And speaking of Twitter, one other question here that was thrown out from at Francis Albert 4. Will the Giants activate Adrian Robinson, or is he too raw? Now, Robinson is one of their draft picks out of Cincinnati.
I think he's a project. I think he's a work in progress with Coach Pope. I think he's too raw right now.
Yeah, he's also still digesting the playbook. That was the other thing that is important to keep in mind when you talk about Robinson, because he missed all of minicamp. He was a late grad out of Cincy. Really, the regular season, late preseason, was the first time that he actually got an opportunity to study the playbook. So don't be surprised if you don't see a lot of Robinson throughout the course of the season. They're going to lean on Pascoe and Bennett when it comes to the tight end spot.
201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. Lance, we go to Middletown, Connecticut. Keyshawn standing by. Keyshawn, welcome.
Hi. I was calling to ask you a question. How is the Professor Kamara doing on this, like, his injury? Like, is he going to be starting?
I believe in what I saw this week, even though it was a short work week, and what I'm hearing, I do believe that Prince Amukamara will play tonight. Now, will he start over Michael Coe or Jerron Hosley? I know that the coaching staff was very pleased with Jerron Hosley and the way that he started at corner last week. And so, will he start? That's the big question mark. Will he play? Yes, I believe he'll play. And how much is he needed? Because, look, Steve Smith, we know he's dealing with a knee issue, but he's going to suit up. He's a warrior. He's going to play. I look at that matchup with Corey Webster. But Brandon LaFell has turned out to be one of Cam Newton's really favorite targets. He targets him a lot. He goes to him a lot. He's got great size. They're going to need as much help on the opposite side of that field, Lance, to defend Brandon LaFell. And so I think all hands need to be on deck in regard to Prince and Co. as well.
Earlier in the week, we had Jonathan Jones of the Charlotte Observer come on, and one of the things we talked about was Brandon LaFell's emergence. And when you look at the Panthers back the last couple of years, since Mohsin Mohamed left town, what second receiver have they had, Anita, that's been able to complement Steve Smith? Even go to the tight end spot. Now they bring in LaFell, they bring in Greg Olsen, and all of a sudden the pressure gets taken off of Steve Smith. He's not seeing nearly as much double coverage as he's seen in the previous years. The thing with LaFell, though, to keep in mind, 6'2". If they put a guy like Hosley on, that's a size advantage for LaFell. Now, Hosley's been aggressive. I think he's shown some flashes. Coe has also been aggressive. They're going to need all hands on deck tonight. If Prince plays, it will probably be in a limited role. And the reason I say that is, number one, the injury, and number two, keep in mind, when guys have been banged up and they've been hurt and they finally get active, the Giants have the philosophy of bringing them in and merging them in very slowly. Look at Will Beatty. He did not start when he eventually came back. Marvin Austin did not play, even though he was active the last game. So Prince Amukamara, he'll likely be in uniform, he'll likely be active, but if he's out there, he's not going to be playing a full dose of snaps. They're going to work him in very slowly, which means he'll be a part of the game plan, but they're going to lean mostly on the Coes and the Hosleys of the world.
All right, you know I'm really big into fantasy.
Absolutely, that goes without saying.
Okay, so I just got a trade offer from Michael Fabiano. I know you know who he is, NFL.com. I believe he does host some shows on Sirius as well, right?
He may.
One, I think.
There's a lot of people at that company. It's hard to keep track of everybody.
You've got musicians and guitarists and playmates hosting shows there. It's pretty insane. Anyway,
it's an eclectic group.
It is. He just offered me, I know we're derailing here, but I'm
you can't resist. So let's hear it. You did the teasing.
Conundrum? Would that be the proper word to use here?
It's a valid word.
Okay. All right.
So what do we got here? Let's set the scene.
I use words I don't know the definitions for, but I like to use them often. Chris Johnson, Julio Jones, he's offering me for Darren McFadden, Andre Johnson. he's trying to, and this is like this, Michael Fabiano is one of the best in the business. So he's trying to dump Chris Johnson on me. Now, I love Julio Jones. No, not a knock on Andre Johnson, but he's trying to take McFadden away from me. And I just, I don't know. I'm
well, McFadden's always an injury risk, but Chris Johnson hasn't been too consistent. Yeah.
Would you accept or deny that?
I would deny it.
I did.
I think you'd be better suited with keeping what you have at this point.
I texted him back, why are you dumping CJ2K on me? I said, I don't want to give up McFadden. Sorry. Thank you. I just wanted to make sure that I was spot on there.
And if you have any fantasy questions, by the way, Anita Marks will be more than happy to break them down. It doesn't even have to be a Giant or a Panther. You can ask about a Bengal, a Brown. Good luck using one of them on your team.
Actually, in fantasy, I'm loving Brandon LaFell tonight, and I'm loving Martellus Bennett tonight. I think these two guys are huge, huge fantasy sleepers in regard to flex positions. I think they could be tremendous for you. 201-939-4513.
Everybody stop listening now. Went to set their lineup just as you said that.
Let's go to Ben in New Jersey. Ben, welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live.
How you doing? Good morning. I have a point about the Giants and a fantasy point. First, the Giants, I think Justin Tuck has to step up big time because the pass rush is a non-factor the first two games. And against Cam Newton, we got to get some pass rush. We have to rattle and we have to do something because Cody Webster is not getting the job done, and the other side, of course, not. So you got to get the pass rush going.
Well, the pass rush and the secondary go hand in hand, so that's certainly a valid point. You continue to get pressure on the quarterback. That's going to not put your secondary in a precarious position, and if the secondary is winning their man-on-man battles, then the pass rush has some extra time to get to the quarterback. But remember, sometimes it's easier said than done. When you're going up against a mobile quarterback, if you over-pursue and you send the wolves out and he gets passed, it's going to be then a long day for the second layer of defense. So, yes, they've got to rattle Cam Newton, but he has the ability to elude tackles and get out on the edge. That's why, as opposed to the pass rush, meaning the front four, the linebacker core is really going to be the X factor tonight. If they can keep the damage in check and limit Cam Newton's ability to run out, then that will really make or break the Giants' defense tonight. The Bolies, those guys got to come up big. If Keith Rivers is healthy, they have to all step up because they're going to be the ones that are going to have to spy on Cam Newton and bring him down quickly, or else he's going to be picking up one chunk of yardage after the other, and that's going to be very dangerous for the Giants.
Phones are rocking and rolling. Why? Well, it's game day for the New York Giants. Big Blue in Carolina getting ready to take on Cammy Cam and the Carolina Panthers. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Matt in Brooklyn. What's up?
Hey, what's going on? Andre Brown aside, because I think he's sort of proven himself last week, which one of the Mets rookies do you think is going to have the biggest game today? Wilson, Barden, Randall?
Well, Ruben Randall, to me, is probably the most intriguing of the group because I could see him getting on the field more often than maybe the other two names that you threw out. David Wilson, I don't think he's still in the doghouse, but based on the emergence of Andre Brown, I think they're turning to him and they're looking to him to carry the load as opposed to some of the other running backs. And I don't really look at Andre Brown as a rookie. I mean, I know technically this is his first opportunity to get the bulk of the carries, but he's been around the league. If you look at his track record, I mean, the waiver wire, IR, he's been making a full circuit around this league the last couple of seasons. And the bottom line is Ruben Randall, to me, with Hickson and Akeem Nicks out of the mix, they're going to put Randall out wide opposite Ramsey's Barden, and given his speed, his versatility, and his size, that's going to be a guy that I think Eli Manning will take some chances down the field. Will he make those catches? That's going to be the big question mark regarding Ruben Randall.
What about Jernigan? You think he has a chance today? Or?
Well, Jernigan will probably be active, but he'll have an opportunity to make more of an impact, yes, on special teams, as Anita just touched on.
201-939-4513. We go out to the left coast. Cali, James, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Nice to be on.
What you got, James?
I personally think Andre Brown is going to have a big day. I actually picked him up on my fantasy because I had Ahmad Bradshaw as my flex, so I'm actually going to give him a shot. But I truly believe the defensive line is going to step up. You know, Justin Tuck and JPP and the other guys are going to step up to the challenge because a lot of people are saying, oh, where's the defensive line? Where's the front four? Where's that rush that we've been seeing? than the past few years. So if there's a game to step up, I think it's against Cam Newton, because we all know how he plays out of the pocket.
Well, as we touched on earlier here on Big Blue Kickoff Live, and appreciate the phone call, James, you know, the Giants' defensive line, they want to have those sacks pile up. But remember, when you look at the box scores, it's not all about the sacks. It's more so on the quarterback hits, and this is something that Perry Fuel has touched on. They want to be able to average at least 10 quarterback hits per game. That's not happening, mainly because, as I mentioned, Tampa Bay and Dallas said, we're going to bring an extra offensive lineman, we're going to have our running back step up, and we're going to make sure that we chop block these guys and we don't allow them to get good penetration up the middle. So you can make the argument that if Tuck and OC are doing their job and they draw the double teams off the edges, to me, you'd want to see more production from Chris Canty and Linval Joseph. Canty obviously is not in the mix because he's on the pup list currently. Rocky Bernard, I should say, right now is a guy they're relying on a bit more in that position. If your defensive tackles can get more penetration up the middle, perhaps that can open up some opportunities off the edge.
201-939-4513. We go back to Connecticut. Alex.
Hi, yeah. I was just wondering, is there anything wrong with Tuck and OC so far? Because Tuck only has 4 tackles on the season, and OC only has 2 tackles on the season. And we really need to get some production out of them to, you know, just to help out our secondary, because they've been getting torched.
Lance, and, I'll let you handle this one.
Oh, thanks so much for weighing in here, Nina. I greatly appreciate it.
Yet again.
Well, this seems to be a reoccurring theme here on the show, and I understand where Giants fans are coming from. They want to see, you know, with everybody healthy, and it hasn't happened too often, where Justin Tuck, OC Umenyor, and JPP are on the field at the same time, and they're on the field for multiple snaps. So I understand if you're a Giants fan, or even if you're a football fan, you want to see the sacks and the quarterback hits tally up. But it has nothing to do with injuries at this point. I think it's more of a reflection of, at times, they're not winning their man-on-man battles because they're seeing a lot of double teams. Tampa Bay used max protection time and time again. Dallas did the same thing. And Tuck and OC were asked about this over and over again the last couple of weeks. And they even said, you look back on the film, we're getting a lot of attention. And the reason they're getting a lot of attention is because of all of the big plays that they made in seasons prior. Will that start to open up as they get different teams on the schedule? I would assume so, because you're going to start to see different schemes. But at the end of the day, Justin Tuck and OC Umenyora are going to have to dig deep and win their man-on-man battles. Sometimes they're going to have to win their one-on-two-man battles. That's what's going to happen.
And you think that OC would want to, you know, step up? Because, I mean, he's playing for a contract. I know the Giants gave him a couple more million, you know, to make him happy this year. But if he wants any chance to come back to the Giants, he really needs to step up. And just my last point was that, you know, I don't really believe in this Carolina rushing game too much, because D'Angelo Williams, I know the first week he had -1 yards. And Jonathan Stewart, he's always hurt. So I think, you know, the big two guys are Steve Smith and LaFell. And Corey Webster needs to get physical with Steve Smith at the line, because I know he has a knee problem. But this guy torched us like 2 years ago, the last game of the season, to embarrass us when he broke his arm on that one play. So I think that, you know, defensive line needs to get after him just to help out the secondary. But these receivers, we need to keep an eye on them tonight.
And appreciate the phone call. But, you know, don't overlook the running game for the Carolina Panthers. I know you just touched on that there's been a lot of injuries. But what they do effectively is they spread the wealth. So D'Angelo Williams will get 10 carries. Jonathan Stewart will get 7. Mike Tolbert, another name that we haven't talked a lot about. He's a guy that they move around. They even use him in the fullback spot so that he can block for the D'Angelo Williams and the Jonathan Stewarts, but also they won't shy away from giving him a carry. And that's why the Panthers' backfield has been so effective. They're not a team like Tampa Bay that's going to give Doug Martin 24 carries. So they keep everybody fresh. And then you have Cam Newton, who's going to get another 10 rushes himself. And at the end of the day, that's how Carolina picks up 100 yards in the blink of an eye. So that the Giants need to be very cautious of that.
So let me ask you this. What do you feel the Tampa Bay Bucs were able to do to limit them to 10 total yards? I mean, you're talking night and day compared to week one into week two.
Well, I think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the linebacker core, did a nice job containing Cam Newton. That's why I threw that out regarding what the Giants should do. If you can contain Newton and only limit him to 10 yards or so, that means you're doing something right. Not necessarily from getting pressure on him constantly, but you're playing well-disciplined defensive football in the second layer. That's why it's on the Giants linebacker core. Michael Boley, Chase Blackburn, Keith Rivers if he's out there, and Jaquan Williams, who you even talked about, Anita, could be potentially used as a spy today, and has done a nice job on Michael Vick. when we saw him last season, when he's been utilized. He even did a nice job containing LeSean McCoy at times. So this is going to be an opportunity maybe for him to have his breakout game for the first time this year.
201-939-4513. Lance and Anita with you till 10:30 Eastern Time. You're listening to Big Blue Kickoff Live. We're going to head out to Charlotte, North Carolina, where our own Paul Dottino is standing by. He's with the team.
Boy, wow. He sounds like he's on the airplane there. Paul, are you with us here?
Yeah, good morning, guys. You know, I got a bit of advice for you. If you ever come down here to Carolina, and I've been down here a couple of times, but don't ever try the bagels. I mean, they're as hard and as tasteless as a hockey puck. Not good.
Why are you ordering bagels? You're from Jersey. You're from New York. You're from Jersey. Why are you ordering bagels in North Carolina?
That just happened to be downstairs in the lobby, you know? They were sitting there, and I was like, all right, why not? Give it a try. Dumb me.
I
need you to help order me breakfast and to help me pick my fantasy football team.
When in Rome, I mean, you need to order some Southern cooking. I mean, you're in North Carolina, Paul.
Yeah, I know. You know what's killing me? They say the Southern scent's supposed to be good, but my Pisantan is not going for it. I'm better off in Jersey.
All right, well, let's talk about the Giants. You know, you've been around the team. I know it was a big surprise that you've got Hakeem Nicks, who we talked to all week. We know he bought all these tickets for his family, was really stoked, really excited to play in North Carolina, put on a show in front of everyone. We heard what he said, wasn't even on the flight yesterday. And then, of course, Ahmad Bradshaw didn't travel. There's some young men that are really going to have to step up and shine on a major stage Thursday night football. What's the mindset of these players right now, knowing how important tonight is, Paul?
Well, you know, Anita, Coach always says it's about opportunity. He beats that into every one of these young players' heads when they first get onto this team. He says to them, you never know when you're going to have your opportunity. And when you're on this roster, it's going to come sooner or later. And when that opportunity arises, you better make the most of it. Well, I think he's probably repeated that statement about 25 times in the last 24 hours to guys like Andre Brown, to guys like Ramses Barden, to guys like Reuben Randall, to guys like Darrell Scott. These are all guys who have to step up and help fill this void. There is no question. When you talk about losing Bradshaw and Nicks, that's about 40% of the Giants' offense so far this season that you're talking about being on the sidelines. This is a problem, okay? So these guys have to – I mean, Ramses Barden, come on. It's 4 years. 4 years. It is time, my friend. He needs a breakout game tonight.
Paul, one guy who's made an immediate impact has been Martellus Bennett, and he's built some nice chemistry with Eli Manning over the first two games. What stood out to you so far about his play, and how big of a game plan do you think the Giants are going to have to get him involved even maybe more tonight?
Well, you know, first things first, Lance, the Panthers are going to absolutely mug Victor Cruz, and why shouldn't they? His replacement reps are letting secondaries get away with literally everything back there. So they're going to do everything they can do to take Cruz out of the game, which means you're going to see singled-up coverage on the likes of Barden or Randall and, quite frankly, Martellus Bennett. So what I like about Bennett is his ability to get vertical. You know, we didn't see much of him in Dallas because he was buried in the shadow of Jason Witten. We have found out that for a big guy, he's pretty athletic and pretty fast, pretty good hands too. Maybe all that talking he was doing, well, maybe he's doing the walk now because he's got two touchdown catches in the first two games, and I wouldn't be surprised if he gets at least one tonight.
Again, Paul Dottino joining us from North Carolina. You know, Paul, give us your keys. Give me three keys that you feel absolutely have to happen tonight in order for the Giants to walk away 2-1.
Well, you know, Anita, to be honest with you, it's a little different than most because obviously the Giants are so banged up. I mean, we'd love to be able to say, okay, you know, start with the running game or, you know, no turnovers and all those standard keys all the time that we like to use a lot. That's not the case in this game. To me, I think the first thing that's got to happen is the Giants need to stop the Panthers' running game. They ran for over 200 yards as a team last weekend, and that cannot happen tonight for the Giants to win. All right, point blank. It just can't happen. because Cam Newton, with his ability to run the option, his ability to run the no-huddle offense, which they do put into their repertoire, and obviously they've got three running backs back there who can all carry the ball, you have to take away some of those opportunities, some of those weapons, some of those options to make them more of a simplified attack. So first thing the Giants need to do is stop the run. I don't think there's any question about that. Second thing I would think that they have to do on the other side of the ball, this revamped offensive line, which because of Deal's injury has Locklear at right tackle and Will Beattie at left tackle, they're going to have to punch some holes in that Panthers defense. They're not a good defense. Okay, they are a speedy defense, but they're not very talented. They don't have any impact players on this defense. You could argue about John Beeson, who's a very good player, but I don't consider him an impact player, and they certainly don't have any impact pass rushers on this team. So you got to just make sure you play sound offensive line kind of football. Just make sure you're on your assignments and you methodically do what you have to do to drive the ball down the field. And then the last thing that I think the Giants have to do is not to give the Panthers anything on special teams. Because I think straight up offensively and defensively, despite the injuries, the Giants are a better team than Carolina. Okay? The last thing you want to do is wind up losing the special teams battle and giving this team hope in front of a national audience, in front of their home crowd, which is going to be all souped up for Thursday Night Football. You don't want to give the Panthers any chance at momentum at all. So you got to be sound on special teams, especially on your coverage units.
Talking with Paul Dottino, who is in Charlotte. The Giants were kind enough to let him fly with the team down there, and he was kind enough to stop running laps around Charlotte to join us right now. So we're very appreciative of that, Paul. I want to get...
Lance,
yes.
I've already done four laps around his...
Look at that. Wow.
Past the stadium several times. They already want to give me a ticket to get in because I've been there so often.
Well, I'm glad that you're not huffing and puffing, at least, and you're putting together nice, coherent, full sentences for us, so you're able to rest up here.
Yeah, okay.
All right, let me get back to the topic at hand here, the Giants. I know you touched on the defense. We've fielded a lot of calls, Paul, on why OCU Mignora and Justin Tuck have no sacks so far this season, have not made an impact in terms of quarterback hits, and really have not picked up where they left off last season. So here I've got two questions for you. Number one, do you think there's a health issue that we don't know much about yet regarding those two? And number two, how key is the linebacker core in stopping the Panthers' run tonight?
Well, in terms of the front four, there are a lot of factors. I don't think they're health-related into why the three big pass rushers have been neutralized. You're looking at schemes, first of all. You're looking at quick-hitting passes as well. You're also looking at a couple of quarterbacks who were able to get out of the pocket and be a little more mobile than maybe I thought the Giants thought they would be. But in addition to that, I think one of the real big factors here, and I hate to say it, Lance, I just don't like talking about the stupid replacement referee situation, but I can't ignore it. Guys are getting mugged on that defensive line, JPP especially. I mean, you know, I'm surprised this jersey doesn't tear off every three or four snaps. It's so bad. Between what's happening in the secondaries and what's happening in the trenches, you know, it's just sinful, and the league's got to do something about it. But what happens is when you get a team like the Giants that relies so heavily on its pass rush from the defensive line without sending a whole ton of blitzes, they're going to pay the price more for that clutching and grabbing in the trenches than other teams would. And that's just the nature of what's going to happen. So either they're going to have to start making adjustments and start sending more blitz packages, or, you know, the refs are going to clean things up, or the Giants linemen are going to say, we're going to fight this stuff and we're going to find a way to get around the clutching and the grabbing. Now, in terms of your other question about linebackers, look, I think these linebackers are terrific. Chase Blackburn is still fighting like a dog to hold off Herzlick, and he's done a decent job at it. We all know how good Bowley is, and Keith Rivers, man, you know, I can't say enough about how great he's looked since he's been a Giant. So, yeah, they're active, and they're going to have to be a big part of it. I just think, you know, right now, to me, you've got to look at Tuck and OC and JPP and say, hey, guys, you've had 2 weeks now to deal with all this stuff that you've had to deal with. Let's see what you can do, because this can't continue if the Giants are going to be a really good team. At some point, these guys are going to have to find a way to get to the quarterback.
He is Paul Dottino as he makes his laps around the Panthers Stadium and getting ready for the big game tonight. Paul, thank you so much. I know you and I will be hosting the pregame show on The Fan. That kicks off at 6:50 tonight. You can tune in and also see Paul on our MSG show, which starts at 5 p.m. tonight as well. So a lot going on for Paul Dottino today. Paul, thank you.
And you're going to be on that show back on the desk, too. Have a good time. And by the way, guys, I got to say one more thing about this stadium. They got these two really gigantic, ugly Black Panthers outside the front of Bank of America Stadium, and they got these nasty claws and nasty teeth. I got to wonder, you know, little kids who come to these games, they must be scared out of their minds when they see these things. Not a good idea by the architect, by the way.
Well, maybe you should start protecting them then. You'll take on another job. All right, Paul.
I'll talk to you soon, guys.
All right, take it easy. Paul Dottino, amazing.
Have you been to Tiger Stadium in Detroit?
No, I have not.
They have along the stadium, they've got these like huge ceramic tigers it's not scary. It's actually quite cool.
We'll try explaining that to Paul Dottino.
Yeah.
His first experience of a tiger up close and personal, or a panther, whatever you want to call it. But I did actually want to bring up one point that Paul touched on, and I thought it was interesting, regarding why the pass rush hasn't been too effective in the first two games and the officiating. And I know it is a topic that, you know, you've been hearing left and right ever since the season started due to the replacement officials, but he's right. There has been a lot of pulling and tugging and grabbing on the line, and it's not just with the front four, it's also with the receivers and the corners, and some guys have been able to get away with some.
Okay, but Paul said that the other day to me, and I said, yeah, but you still have Clay Matthews, who's, how many sacks did he have already, right? Or six? What is it? Six and a half? Nine?
Well,
in one game. I believe he has nine.
He had a big game against the Bears. We'll leave it at that.
You know,
but he's a linebacker. Keep that in mind.
But I think that's different.
I think that gives him somewhat of an edge because keep in mind.
But he's a linebacker. But a lot of times when he rushes, he rushes from the line of scrimmage. He gets down on a 3-point stance and he rushes from the line of scrimmage. A lot of times when he you know, like the way that they utilize him, it's kind of like the way that the Ravens use Terrell Suggs. Do you know what I mean? Like,
well, but he
doesn't always rush from the linebacking position.
But when he does, I think that's when he's more effective because he's waiting for the grabbing and the pulling to happen, takes advantage of the hole, and then boom, he can get right to the quarterback. The Broncos use Elvis Dumervil in a similar situation like how the Packers use Clay Matthews. So you're right. I mean, it's a combination of multiple factors, but if you're getting pulled by the jersey, it's also hard to get free. And I'm not sitting here to try and make excuses for Justin Tuck and OCU Mignora. I think they're talented alone that they can overcome some of those issues. And when it gets to week 5 and it gets to week 6 and the pulling and the tugging continues, how many times can you throw that out as a reason for why you're not getting at least 5 or 6 quarterback hits by now? That's going to be an intriguing storyline to monitor and watch, and maybe they can right the ship starting tonight.
201-939-4513. Lance and myself have you for another 10 minutes talking all things Giants as they get ready for the Carolina Panthers. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Maryland. Ed is standing by. Ed, your boy Darrell Scott looks like he more than likely is going to be active tonight. That's got to make you excited.
Yeah. I mean, he's a great talent. You know, glad to see him finally get a shot to play. I have a few things I want to talk about. One of them is Victor Cruz. It seems like he's a little bit raw in the game. Like, he catches the ball and he kind of freezes or turns backwards to try to make a move, and he usually loses yards. Is there a way Giants can teach him to just catch the ball and go straight upfield instead of dancing around? And then another point I want to make is about the Anvil, which is Linval Joseph. He's playing great. I think he's playing on a high level. He needs to get noticed and go to Pro Bowl. And another thing I want to see the Giants do, I want to see the DBs cheat a little more. It seems like the safeties, they always wait for the ball to be thrown before they go over to their mark. And the cornerbacks, they kind of play a little passive. I want to see them grab a little more, play a little bit more Ed Reed-type football. What do you guys think about that?
And Corey Webster touched on that about being more aggressive at the line of scrimmage, using that 5 yards that you're allowed to do a little grabbing and pulling to their advantage. And Perry Fuel said that that's something that he looked to correct this week. So I agree with you. I think it's going to be imperative for the Giants' corners to look to be much more aggressive at the line of scrimmage. Don't let Steve Smith, don't let Brandon LaFell get comfortable and be able to run their routes, because if they get some momentum in those 5 yards, they'll be able to blow by the Giants' corners. And Corey Webster has had a rough time. He has lost a handful of his man-to-man battles, but the way to get over that is disrupt the routes right from the start. And I believe he also had touched on Victor Cruz doing a little dancing, if I'm correct, after he makes the catches and maybe being a little bit more aggressive. You know, Victor Cruz has his own style. I think it's important for him to put these mental lapses behind him. I think the game against Tampa Bay was a step in the right direction. He caught the football. He made the big plays when he needed to after a very rough season debut against the Cowboys. And as long as he remembers, secure the football, make the catch, then do the damage, I think he'll be okay in the long run.
Lance, again, our show question on Twitter: who needs to step up tonight for the New York Giants? Because as we know, Hakeem Nicks did not make the trip. Running back Ahmad Bradshaw did not make the trip. David Deal out as well.
Hickson, too, is another one.
So Hickson with the concussion. So some big-time issues on offense. So obviously, the majority of the responses that we're getting on Twitter in regard to our show question are about the offense. Barden and Randall and Andre Brown are the three guys that our listeners responded the most to in regard to having to step up, and rightfully so.
And with regard to Hickson being inactive, somebody that we haven't given a great deal of attention to so far here on Big Blue Kickoff, and you can still give us a call, 201-939-4513, or continue to chime in on Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. With Hickson out, somebody also needs to step up on special teams. Now, David Wilson, I think, has done a really nice job on kickoffs, and he's shown that he could perhaps break one if everything lines up for him. Sometimes a penalty has brought the Giants back. I know Reuben Randall, remember, had that big run for 40-plus yards, and that was knocked out by an illegal block behind the back. So they certainly need to work out those kinks, and if they play well-disciplined football in special teams, perhaps, I think as Len touched on earlier in the show, they can get some good field position, and that could take the pressure off Eli Manning. But Reuben Randall, to me, is not only going to be relied upon tonight, Anita, in terms of serving as that third wide receiver when they go wide, but he could be a big factor in special teams tonight if his number gets called.
And they also utilize, keep in mind, they also utilize David Wilson, Jarrell Jernigan. I think you're going to see those three players really utilized a lot. Also, Jerron Hosley. Believe it or not, Jerron Hosley worked in at specials quite a bit up in Albany and in the preseason. I know we only have about 5 minutes left in the show. I wanted to kind of go over some of the other games in and around the NFL, and so I'm calling up the schedule right now. I know right off, you probably know, who do the Dallas Cowboys play this week?
The Cowboys have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Okay, so the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who, man, they just gave up so many points in that second half. You've got to think that Tony Romo and that wide receiving corps is looking at what, I know that Kevin Gilbride made adjustments at halftime. Some of the players had commented that during our post-game show, that they went in and Calvin Gilbride said, okay, well, this is the scheme. This is how they're going to come at us. Okay, well, this is what we're going to do differently. He made some adjustments. Obviously, you've got to put it on Eli Manning. He had a magnificent second half. It was a tale of two halves, no doubt. But nonetheless, are you anticipating Tony Romo and Dez Bryant and Miles Austin and DeMarco Murray to come out and just come after the Tampa Bay Bucs? What are you anticipating this game?
You asking me for fantasy advice too? Are you looking
I want to go through the NFC East.
I agree. Okay. Listen, bottom line is they're going to look to throw. I mean, if the Cowboys are looking at the Giants film and see how Tampa Bay had multiple breakdowns in their secondary, I don't see why Dallas wouldn't want to use that similar game plan. You know, DeMarco Murray's a guy they like to lean on. I thought Seattle did a good job containing the Cowboys running game, and that's why there was more pressure on Romo. And Seattle's defense is probably one of the surprising defensive units out there. I'm not taking anything away from the Cowboys offense saying that they're not going to be able to regroup, but Seattle's D is for real. They've got a lot of youth that Pete Carroll brought in. They could be a surprise team this season if they continue to play at that level. But when it comes to Tampa Bay, Dallas would be stupid if they didn't look to throw the football.
And keep in mind, Tampa Bay, that's 2 weeks in a row on the road. And a lot of times you do have to pay attention to that. In looking at Michael Vick and the Philadelphia Eagles, Michael Vick and the Eagles heading out west to take on the Arizona Cardinals, who, yeah, nothing to write home about because it's Kevin Cobb, but there could be extra motivation there because Kevin Cobb was supposed to be the next in line in Philadelphia, and then Michael Vick kind of stole the show. Keep that there. And also, the Arizona Cardinals defense is a lot better than I think what people realize. I mean, look, they beat the New England Patriots last week, which was a big surprise, knocked me out of my my suicide pool.
As well as many others.
So thank God you have that three-week buyback. So I'm buying back in this week. But nonetheless, Michael Vick and this Philadelphia Eagles offense, they're definitely not clicking on all cylinders. They looked absolutely horrible. Granted, they're still 2-0. They've won both their games by just 1 point. I think this is going to be a tough matchup this Sunday.
The Eagles have a lot of turnovers. That's why it's surprising to see them.
Yeah. 9 turnovers in 2 games, Lance. And, 9.
And 6 picks for Michael Vick.
Mm-hmm.
And it's stunning to see how a team is 2-0, despite the fact that they're losing in the turnover differential.
Shows you how great their defense is.
And the defense has really stepped up. They've limited even a high-scoring offense in the Ravens, who took care of business against the Bengals. They contain them for the most part. But Arizona's defense is another surprise. I put them up there with the Seahawks. If the Cardinals can get Michael Vick to be careless with the football, get a turnover, capitalize off of that, this game could be a lot closer than most people think.
Low-scoring. I'm anticipating low-scoring.
Yeah. And you have to wonder, when is Philly's luck going to run out if they don't protect the football? I mean, what team have you seen in the history of the NFL have a terrible turnover differential and wind up winning games?
It doesn't. It rarely happens. And then last but not least, RG3, this young man has been magnificent. You and I were talking about it before we started the show. They are at home going up against the Cincinnati Bengals. And even though, yes, week one, week two, he's been great, I do anticipate him to have another fantastic week, even though Pierre Garçon is not there. I don't think it's necessarily about all the weapons he has. I just think it's the system he's in and how he's able to execute it. He has been able to execute this West Coast offense, which is really surprising considering that he's a rookie. He's making all the reads. He's checking down. He's doing everything he's supposed to do. Just goes to show you how smart he is. He's a very intelligent quarterback. But I'm expecting big things from RG3 yet again this week. I think they beat Cincinnati in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, the Bengals' defense has really been up and down. I mean, Cleveland had a lot of success against the Bengals after Cleveland couldn't do much against Philly. And I know the level of defense falls off a bit, but Cincinnati has a long way to go. They've had some injuries. They're relying on a mix of veterans and rookies, and I don't think that mix has necessarily developed positively for them so far in the 2 games. So I certainly like the Redskins in this contest as well. The thing to keep in mind with Washington that scares me a bit, their defense took 2 big hits in terms of injuries. They lost Brian Arakpo for the season, and they lost Adam Carriker, 2 of their top pass rushers. You have to wonder, with Washington's defense taking such a big hit, they start giving up a lot of points. How much pressure does that now fall on RG3 to keep up the scoring load, and can he continue to do that?
Look, he's been able to do it the past 2 weeks. Do you know what I mean?
But the level of competition steps up when you go up against the division rivals. They're going to see a lot of different looks. Teams are going to start to get more film on RG3. It'll be interesting whether or not he'll have the same level of success that he's had in the first 2 games when we're talking week 14 and week 15.
Right. I agree with you. I agree with you there. If RG3 is able to and continues to put up these type of numbers in week 5, 6, 7, then I think the Colts have to really question their decision in taking Luck as the number one.
Well, Luck's been productive, though. He had a nice game against the Vikings, and it's a rookie learning curve.
It's you know what? In all honesty, this kind of reminds me. Remember when Vince Young and Reggie Bush and Mario Williams came out at the same time, and everybody was like, "Who are they going to take?" And I think this is the kind of jury's still out. I think you need to give these guys like 3 years. I don't think it's fair to sit here and say RG3 is better than Luck, Luck's better than... I think you need to give these guys 3 years, really get into their system, allow the organizations and the franchises to kind of build around them, and then see where they stand.
But you also need to take into consideration, Anita, the competition in the division. You know, the NFC East has a lot of teams with strong pass rushers, and sometimes the way to contend against that is to have a mobile quarterback, whereas there's a different style of football in the AFC South where they like the passing game. They like to have a balance. You look at the Jaguars. You look at the Titans. where Andrew Luck is maybe more suitable for that division. That, I think, is how teams weigh also where they want to go with respect to the draft picks. But you're right. The jury is still not out. You're going to have to wait at least maybe even 5 or 6 seasons till we truly determine who got the better of the pick, because Mario Williams, to me, didn't really hit his stride until he got fully healthy. And the same thing with Reggie Bush. He was injury prone when he was with the Saints. Now, all of a sudden, with the Dolphins, he's trying to put together a sustainable career as long as he can stay on the field for 16 games.
And what a week he had last week. Did you start him in our fantasy challenge?
No, I did not.
No.
And that's why I did not win as a result.
I didn't start him either. Actually, I started RG. I started RG3 as my quarterback. I started CJ Spiller as my.
Been a nice bright spot.
And that's going to be really interesting when Fred Jackson comes back. And what do you do there? Because you're not supposed to lose your starting position to injury. But CJ Spiller has been just amazing.
I think it'll be more of a committee once he comes back. Remember, Fred Jackson got hurt last year, and he reclaimed his starting role to start this season. So Chan Gailey, I think, has the philosophy that you just threw out there. I have a lot invested in Fred Jackson. The Bills also just gave him a contract extension. They're not all of a sudden going to limit the guy who they have a lot of money invested into about 5 carries a game. They're going to balance the load out.
All right, so my day gets kind of crazy from here on out. I'm heading home. I'm going to get myself ready. I come back here a little bit later on. We have our MSG show that kicks off at 5 o'clock. So you definitely want to tune into that. Myself, Harry Carson, Roman Oben, and then of course, Paul Dottino, Bob Papa, Carl, all those guys will be chiming in from Carolina as well. Then I have to hightail it over to the Fan. I'll be hosting the pregame show on WFAN with Paul Dottino, and the post game with Carl Nelson. And I know you do some stuff here online, right?
Yeah, I'll be back here on Giants.com at 8 Eastern. We'll have a full pregame show. We'll be with you all throughout the game between every commercial break, and we'll also have a full postgame show taking your phone calls throughout immediately after the game. And then we will be back tomorrow morning here on Big Blue Kickoff. So the marathon continues.
I don't know. I don't – just bring me a mimosa or a –
I'm going to need one too.
Yeah, bring me a mimosa or a Bloody Mary, and we'll be good, because it's going to be a late night, I think, for both of us.
But it should be an exciting night for Giants fans, as they'll get an opportunity to see some of the young talent on this team.
Hopefully next time Lance and I host this show, the Giants will be 2-1. So good luck, Big Blue.
All right. Well, certainly appreciate all the phone calls and the Twitter questions. Remember to tune back in here on Giants.com, 8 Eastern. You could also hear Anita on the Fan. This is Big Blue Kickoff. For Anita Marks, I'm Lance Meadow. Have a good one.